Moist. Moist, meaty. Oh, moist, meat. I'm in Jane.
We're in
moist,
Jane. Meaty. We're in Jane. We are in Jane.
How do you feel about that? Are you aware of that? I'm not crossing any weird boundaries. Andrew, walking the dog this afternoon. I got the headphones on.
We're just getting warmed up this week.
Just getting warmed up, everybody. Live via Zoom, America's number one Pi-Coastal podcast featuring two annoying Jews. Myself on the West Coast, great state of Arizona, and the great city of Phoenix to be exact, along with show mascot Braxton Moody, a.k.a. Doggy Shango. He's sleeping on the floor. I think he's sleeping. My name is Evan Moody on the East Coast, looking at this handsome hunk of a man in the great state of Florida and the greater city of Coral Springs. He is annoying Jew number two. His name is Andrew Gruthius. Grew Tuesday night. How the hell are you, my friend?
Good evening. This is rock and roll.
Good evening.
This is, it's interesting doing this in at nighttime. Although, you know, my apartment is the same. You know, my windows are always shaded anyway. It's always just one big dark room in here. But
a dusky.
Yeah. With the green mist still coming out of the Moody, the Mitch Moody green mist.
That's right, Kabuki. Kabuki couldn't do it any better.
We're here Tuesday night. Long day, long week, but that's what it's all about.
We're here, season four, Roundtable Cobra Kai. Today's Nothing Worthwhile podcast. You knew season four was coming. I always like to open it up before I get to the notes. You know, when Netflix put out the release that, you know, Cobra Kai was ready to go, I guess the New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. I don't know. Give me some excited for season four. What were you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, look, this it's no secret to our incredible fan base out there that I am a huge Cobra Kai mark, as it were. I mean, of course, I binged watched the whole season three. New Year's Day when it came out, then, and you know, since then it was exactly a year, or I'm sorry, 364 days. From the end of season three with a great cliffhanger, it was all roads led to season four, and it was just a year of looking forward and. Just little teases here and there. The producers of this show and the cast, to some extent, they love to like go on social media and just like drop little hints in their little tweets or whatever. And the whole Cobra Kai universe, as it's called, just goes ape shit whenever that happens. So, and they just have fun doing that. And then like, you know, little footage here, little, you know, tidbits there, and then a trailer and then, or a teaser and then a trailer. And then you find out this guy's coming back and, all leading up to, you know, the New Year's Eve premiere of season four. I couldn't have been more excited. I mean, this has been, it is my current favorite television show.
I was just going to ask you, was this like your most anticipated?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, okay. by far. The anticipation was as high as it could get in my world.
So the number two cake boss was
actually right second. Now. Since you brought it up, right now there's only really there are shows that I watch that whenever they come back, like Curb Your Enthusiasm, I'll always watch. This season was a step above from the last couple. But I don't. It's not my favorite show on television. Cobra Kai definitely is. A distant second is a show called Superman and Lois on the CW. It's part of that. It's part of that Arrowverse, and it's the only. And it's the only thing I've seen from that Arrowverse, and I really, really like it.
Yeah, you promo it a lot. I would say for me right now, I'm very excited for season four, and I believe it's the last season that they've stated of Ozark on Netflix with Jason Bateman.
It really is incredible, this streaming thing, because you're the third person who has mentioned that show to me today, honestly, and I'd never heard of it until today. And all of a sudden, I look it up, and I say, I'm no joke. I did not know you were going to say that, and I've heard you're the third person. So I looked it up before this podcast, and I'm like, oh, a new Jason Bateman show. And then I'm like, this is the fourth fucking season? Well, where are these shows coming from? I mean, it's just like, I guess there are just so many platforms and so many shows now. I mean, you remember, you know, we used to have ABC, NBC, Fox, and CBS, you know, and whatever was on them, you know, but there are just these incredible shows all over the place. And it's tough to keep up. It really is.
Yeah, you got to have a lot of time. Andrew, speaking of Cobra Kai season four, Gru, in October 2020, Netflix renewed Cobra Kai for a fourth season, just prior to the third season's release. The renewal came following Netflix's acquisition of the series after its previous streamer, YouTube, was not interested in renewing the series for a fourth season. As Andrew mentioned, you know, all of the writers and producers returned, Josh Held, John Hurwitz, Hayden Schlossberg, again, in production with Counterbalance Entertainment, which is Will Smith, James Lasseter, and Caleb Pinkett. They returned as executive producers.
Who, Pinkett?
I think that's Jada Pinkett's brother or cousin, Caleb Pinkett. We talked about him. They were involved with that next Karate Kid project. I think that's how they got in on the whole Karate Kid.
Oh, I know that. I just didn't know there was a Caleb Pinkett.
Yes. You might have not known every little thing about the Cobra Kai universe.
Well, they love to tell us everything about their whole family, so I'm surprised they have this secret brother-in-law somewhere.
Yes. A red pill, blue pill. On October 27th, on October 27, 2021, prior to the fourth season, obviously the release, Netflix already renewed the season for a fifth season. Grew in terms of music, Def Leppard's song Rock of Ages was used in the promotional trailer for the fourth season of Cobra Kai. Moment of Truth, a song performed by Survivor and written by Bill Conti, Dennis Lambert, and Peter Beckett for the original film, was performed during the season by Carrie Underwood. Executive producer Josh Held stated that Carrie Underwood was a huge fan of the series, and her appearance was kept secret until the performance was filmed, causing an authentic reaction from the extras on the set. Other featured music from the series included songs from Poison, Rat, Journey, Foreigner, REO Speedwagon, as well as Motley Crue's Girls, Girls, Girls. Gru, I'll throw it to you. Any thoughts or comments on how Cobra Kai integrates music into this television series?
Yeah, sure. I mean, look, these guys obviously had me in mind when they decided to make this. This show. There's literally no other explanation.
Right in that 80s.
Yeah, 90s exactly.
Wheelhouse.
Just like, but you know, you can tell that they do everything so meticulously, and they do it as fans. Like they know what they want to see. It's got nothing. Their writing has nothing to do with anything snobbish, like integrity or this or that. You know, it's all about like what would make us go like, holy shit, you know, this is amazing and I love this. And so they're like making it for people of their generation, and they're our generation. These guys are a little bit younger than I am. They're in like their early 40s or maybe almost mid 40s, but you know, they like the same stuff. They're Jersey Jews. They are.
Yay.
They also did, they did the Harold and Kumar franchise, I believe. And they also did one of the American Pie, movies, the last one, I think, American Pie Reunion, which actually is really good. They just do it. They do it for their audience. And the biggest surprise is how broad their audience has become. Like kids love this show. Like everybody in my school, they talk about it all the time. And it's like they don't know who Def Leppard is, but they love the show. Pandering to them with hip hop type stuff or stuff that movies seem to have to use just to bring in an audience. they're choosing music and the type of score as well, but also their musical choices, you know, because that's, you know, to them, that's what tells their story. And they do it with just so much passion for the franchise. So that's the best way to do it. They really
maybe an 11th grader will become a Def Leppard fan because of
Hey, if they ask who it is, it's my job as an educator to let them know.
That's right.
not just who it is, but who they are and what their influences were, and maybe integrate that into, you know, it's history. It's you know, it's world history.
Yeah. Kids, sit down. Let me tell you a story about a one-armed drummer.
Oh my God,
named Rick Allen. That's unbelievable.
Have you ever heard of a band called Rat?
right. Grew in terms of the cast for season four. I mean, again, very, very expansive cast. Let me go through a couple of names. I'm not going to go through everybody, but again, Ralph Macchio, William Zabka return as Daniel and Johnny, Courtney Hengligler as Amanda LaRusso, Zolo Maraduena as Miguel Diaz, Tanner Buchanan, Robbie is back, Mary Mooser as Samantha LaRusso, Jacob Bertrand as Eli Hawk, Moskowitz is back, Peyton List as Tori Nichols, Thomas Ian Griffin, Terry Silver, Martin Cove as John Kreese, a new character, Kenny Payne, played by Dallas Dupree Young, and of course, Paul Walter Hauser as Stingray. Groove, looking at my notes, another round for the stellar cast. Any thoughts as to the casting of season four of Cobra Kai?
Yes, great. These guys are, they have a great ensemble. And they've just done a terrific job throughout the entire thing to, of the main cast, you know, with, you've got Ralph Macchio, William Zabka, Zolo Maraduena, who's Miguel, and Tanner Buchanan, who is Robbie, and Mary Mouser, who's Samantha. You care about everybody equally. They've somehow, in my opinion, they've made us, you know, this show would not be the same without any one of these people. Which as someone who is stuck in the past, like I am, for him to say that, is, you know, that's no small thing. So I think the cast obviously loves what they're doing. They seem to just eat it up. They're having a great time. They know what they're doing is great. And every scene that they're in, they just, you know, and this season had a return of, you said, Paul Walter Hauser as Stingray, who,
yeah, I'm going to give you my thoughts on that.
Yeah, who was one of my favorite characters in season three. No, season two. He was not in season three.
See how Andrew just kept on going. I made a comment and he just kept on going.
No, I know. You're going to say something about that later, okay. The cast is just one more thing, the woman, I don't know how to pronounce her name, Courtney,
I think it's Courtney Hengler.
She just rips it up as Daniel's wife, not so much in season four as she has in the past, but She's really good.
I actually thought she stepped up in season four. I thought she got a little bit more airtime and a little bit more interplay in some of the stories.
Maybe. I felt like there wasn't as much.
Right, look, maybe I don't. I'm not in Kicking the Cobra podcast.
Honestly, I haven't listened to anything else. I really haven't.
Good. I do agree with you. I don't know if there was ever sort of a nostalgia callback show where they're able to, you know, really super integrate the young cast that's going to hopefully keep this series vibrant or this universe vibrant for years to come. That is one thing I definitely agree with. Like, I can't think of another project, movie or Star Wars. You know, these young people are interesting. They make their storylines interesting. They're very good actors. And, you know, when you were talking about, you know, getting everybody back, they're smart to do so.
Yeah.
Stay on the gravy train, everybody. Stay on the Cobra Kai gravy train.
Yeah. And what you say, you know, what you say is absolutely true. And I've said this before as like, this succeeds where things like Star Wars fail because they have the nostalgia factor just to have the nostalgia factor. They don't really figure into the story that much. They're just there to, it's like, I've used this analogy before. It's the legendary manager accompanying the new, hopefully superstar to the ring, trying to sell him, you know, to the crowd. And here, they're very smart to make it still about the originals. Everything kind of stems out from the originals. They never lose sight of where the genesis of the show is, and the franchise. Unlike Star Wars, these latest movies were not about Han Solo and Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia. They weren't. You know, they were there.
Half of them are dead.
No,
half
but I mean, but they were.
They
but
got a bad hip.
That's true. Broken wing. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, they just have these people there just to get the old people in the door and then try to sell us on the new people, and it just doesn't work.
Well, I think you have to look, if you're talking about continuity of a franchise and want to make it continue, you got to give us a reason to care about these new characters, and you use the older characters that have established rapport with the viewer to integrate. And
that's why it doesn't work because unless you do it right.
Okay, because, I'm agreeing with you
because
but,
just having them there and not the those movies could exist without them. Cobra Kai could not exist without Daniel and Johnny. You know, that's the difference. That's really it.
Do you want to see a Star Wars with a bunch of 70-year-olds running around? No.
I would have liked to have seen the story revolve around them. Okay? The story of Cobra Kai revolves around Johnny and Daniel. And that's what makes their, you know, literal and figurative offspring interesting. The fact that it's still about them, that makes us automatically care about these people. The new people in Star Wars had zero connection to Han Solo and those guys. They had zero connection until they met him, and it was just like happenstance. And it was just, you know, it was sort of gratuitous. What I'm saying is those people need to have a bigger role if it's going to work. That it didn't sell the new Ghostbusters on me either. I did like it, but I wanted to love it, and I just couldn't because they used what they have for a tiny little bit just to get people like me into the door, knowing that we wouldn't go unless Bill Murray was in it, you know?
That Andrew Grithius rant was brought to you by New Life Center. check them out at their new location, 4515. Oh, wait. Towel off. Get a sip of water. Get a sip of Coke. Yeah. And let's get to it. Let's get to episode number one. Number one is Let's Begin. Eagle Fang and Miyagi-Do begin training together in an effort to beat Cobra Kai, but Daniel and Johnny disagree on the best way to prepare the students. Carmen finds out about Johnny and Allie and says, let's wait a while before, oh baby, let's slow it down. Kreese gets in contact with Terry Silver and invites him back to Cobra Kai. Terry declines, claiming he's found peace with this new lavish lifestyle he began living after leaving Cobra Kai. Terry Silver later contemplates returning to Cobra Kai. Gru, episode one, the big story, Terry Silver is back. New sophisticated gentleman or rich douchebag?
Both. This was what we were all waiting for. I mean, we've been the fans have been talking about Terry Silver. He's always been kind of a fan favorite. He the villain from Karate Kid 3, which was, you know, we've covered that on our podcast before. Not a good movie, but a very fun villain, and to see him back in the fold and is great just seeing him, and this this episode sets it up. Like, we honestly have no idea.
What did you think of the setup? What did you think?
Great setup. A little too much of a reveal. I love the setup.
In what way?
Wasn't the end of this episode when his girlfriend sends him to get the wine, and he goes down to the cellar, and then the episode ends with him doing like one of his kick, like "Asai!" You know, and he kicks the glass. Was that the end?
I believe so.
So I would have saved that for maybe, you know, the beginning of episode two. Like I didn't want to see him go back so fast. I wanted to believe that he really, really was not, you know, going to go.
Okay, so obviously they're inferring that somehow Terry Silver is struggling with, he sees Kreese. I actually thought it was a great setup. And I'm a guy that's criticized Cobra Kai, but that felt really real to me. Like, Terry Silver kind of looks like a rich California douchebag. Like, he was always, well, first of all, in Karate Kid Part 3, he's a wealthy businessman. So I don't remember if in episode one, but we sort of get the story that he was rich, lost it all, made his fortune back again, and is now sort of into this inner peaceful, you know, West Coast lifestyle in California.
Well, I don't think he lost everything. I think he fell off the map a little bit. No. I'm telling you what I think.
God damn it.
No, I'm telling you what I think. I don't know. They don't tell us. So
I believe he does. I believe. Okay. Well, maybe I'm wrong, but I think at some point he talks to Kreese and he lost everything, kind of gets it back. And,
nonetheless,
when you're looking at Terry kicking the Cobra. Looking at Terry Silver.
Yeah.
I just felt like it felt kind of real. Like, I could see Terry Silver.
To me too.
With the sandals. In the house, overlooking the water with the young Hachi girlfriend, and you know that kind of felt real. But you know,
I love that scene. I love that scene when Kreese shows up at that little party. By the way,
well, Kreese is basically calling him out and saying, you know, like you could live that life, but you're always going to be about this.
Yeah. As I said, it's a great setup. I just feel like the reveal of him. Of his inner demon coming back might have been just a tad too soon.
It's still a
great scene. Maybe just a little misplaced, but it's still a fantastic setup. You know what I mean?
As to quote my wrestling shirt, it felt real to me.
Yeah, no, it's still real to me. Damn it,
it did.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to episode two. Andrew first learned Stan Kenny Payne. We get introduced to Kenny Payne, a new student at the school, I believe at the middle school, preparing for his first day of school by himself and gets bullied by the other students, including Anthony LaRusso. Daniel and Johnny agree to take a day of training for each other to better understand the other style of teaching. Amanda visits Tori at work in an effort to protect Sam and inadvertently gets her fired. Kenny gets tricked into an evening of cosplaying, causing him to get into a fight with them, but Kenny runs away. Kenny needs some help from the bullies, visits older brother Sean in the juvie lockup, who points him towards Robbie. Andrew, thoughts on Kenny? Is he the most interesting new character Cobra Kai has introduced in a while, or a childish middle schooler who needs a good smack in the head?
I wouldn't say he's the best new character in a while.
Nobody likes me. I want to kill myself.
Shut up, Meg.
All right, let me hear your thoughts on Kenny.
Maybe I love the story there. I think I might – I hate to say it because it sounds kind of douchey. I might have a problem with the actor. I know he's not selling it for me.
Really?
He's not selling me on – how the hell do I say this? what you described. He's not selling me on the future juvie guy thing, because that's where his brother is, and his brother did a good job last year. Like he's only in this episode. I think, you know, he's only in this episode this season, but he did a very good job in last season. You know, he and Robbie were fighting, always fighting in the juvie hall. That kid was good. This kid, I think maybe he's a little too young. Because the interesting part of this whole thing is the bully to me, Anthony.
Understood.
So in this dynamic, like if you look at the Daniel and Johnny dynamic, they both kind of hover in an equal area. They each have you rooting for them, each having you root for the other at times. Here, it's not as balanced, and you care more about Anthony than you do about Kenny right now.
Because
we've seen Anthony before, and we've always said that he's been kind of like kicked off to the side.
He's been a non-factor up to this point. Right. I'll say that.
Yeah, but
he's been a little bit of a comic sidekick. That's about as much.
Right.
As he's had.
So I like where I'm more interested in where they're taking him, because he has been, you know, away or off, you know, off to the side. So he's part of this family too, and you know, it's just for right now, I'm more interested in that side of it. The kid who plays Kenny, I think, has to mature a little bit. I think it just didn't. It's the only thing that rang that did not ring 100% true to me. Really,
yeah, a great critical analysis. You have to mature.
Well, that's not a thing.
No comment. the one problem I have is everything. I know they want to create this, like, you know, Cobra Kai universe, but like there's such an incestual, like, you can't, there's very rarely like a new kid. It's like, oh, he, his brother was in juvie.
Yes.
I felt like I'm playing Kevin Bacon. Like, it's,
yeah.
You know, 6 degrees, like
everything's connected. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Let me get my point across here. You know, my brother was juvie, who fought Robbie, who knows? You know, like, and again, first of all, he doesn't really look. He looks like a decent strapping kid from middle school. I would say visually, he doesn't look like a kid. He looks, you know, he's got the nice haircut. Again, as I watched.
Wait, who are we talking about? Kenny?
Kenny. Okay. He's in middle school. Remember, right. He's in middle school.
Yeah.
Okay, so he looks like a decent sized kid, you know, and then again, it's hard for me to remember, but you know, it's another one of these. His mom works all the time. His dad apparently is in the military, so you're getting the sense that he doesn't get a lot of parental support at home. I don't want to say too much more because I'm probably Anthony and Kenny will come up as we go ahead with the storyline. But
yeah.
I remember thinking those were my initial thoughts. Like I was like, oh, of course he has to be Sean's brother because Sean.
Well,
was
maybe
season three, like.
Maybe that's, you know, maybe that's why I'm not sold on it. Remember, I couldn't really put it into maybe that's it. Maybe it's just a little too contrived in a show full of contrivances. That's saying something.
I can't wait till we get our final reviews. I think I'll enjoy hearing yours, and hopefully you'll enjoy hearing mine. Yeah. Episode 3, Then Learn Fly. I mean, what is this? Is this Mr. Miyagi? Everything's like broken English. Then Learn Fly.
No, these are all lines from the movie.
Thank you.
First learn stand, Danielson, then learn fly.
Okay. Well, Daniel and his family.
Hey, you asked. I'm telling you.
Daniel and his family, along with Johnny, Carmen, and Miguel, have dinner together where they discuss Sam and Miguel's future. Daniel and Johnny trade students, so each one gets a taste of Miyagi-Do and Eagle Fang. Terry Silva visits Kreese and blames him for disturbing his peace of mind. Robbie agrees to teach Kenny some karate. Johnny wants Carmen now, and she agrees. Kenny visits Cobra Kai Dojo once more and finally convinces Kreese to allow him to train there. My point of focus here is, and I'm going to go a little mushy here, why do I love the Johnny-Carmen romance so much? Because I do.
I do too, because it was unexpected, I think.
I think, yeah.
I didn't see Johnny going in that direction, and it's not shit because because the, you know why? Because he's at the end of last season, he sort of chose her. You know, after like he was really.
Oh, wait, are you saying? Hold on, are you saying he sort of chosen her?
Black and white
for everyone to see for me. I got the
The meaning in my life. But he like, even though he wasn't getting back together with Allie at the end of last season, he was still making kind of goo-goo eyes to her, but in the end, he realized he was into Carmen, and he went back, and he was like, all right, I'm ready. And the audience kind of cheered when that happened, because that's been teased, and it's rumored. I mean, not rumored. It's just been building. So it's great that they've gone there, and it's another interesting relationship to for the show to explore.
Yeah, Vanessa Rubio as Carmen Diaz. Have you ever seen Vanessa Rubio on Instagram? Oh, it's going to be building. All right, it's going to be building.
Are you serious?
Read between the lines, Andrew. Yeah, she's a beautiful woman.
No, I know that. I didn't know she had an OnlyFans. An Instagram.
I can't disagree with anything you said. I love love. No, I don't love love. But I do sort of love fish out of water romances.
Yes.
Like, I mean, let's be honest. The first season, he's kind of a loser. Can't hold on to a job. And Carmen is this beautiful Hispanic lady who's kind of been down on her luck, family down on her luck. And I bought into that romance right off the bat. Super enjoy that story.
I have to tell you just one thing about this episode and the dinner scene. This is when they eat dinner at Johnny's, right? And he's making that Chipotle looking kind of thing. If you look, there's one scene where you can see on the table is a bottle of Coca-Cola. Now, it looks like product placement. It's blatant. It's right there. And I'm like, oh, come on. But then I see over Johnny's shoulder on the counter is a bottle of RC Cola.
Ooh.
And I was like, wait a minute. I was like, okay. Johnny would definitely be the kind of guy who would drink RC Cola for nostalgic purposes, and it's cheaper.
That's right.
Would definitely class it up with Coke for his dinner guests and a mom he's trying to get with. And I was like, you know what? That is fucking genius writing right there. You know what I'm saying?
Well, nothing for my lady. Coke is nothing but the best.
I remember just putting that whole thing together. I was like, oh my God, I need a life.
You know what I always say, real tomato ketchup.
Nothing but the best.
That's right. Episode 4 is Bicephaly. Johnny gets frustrated as Daniel and Miguel begin to grow closer. Kreese introduces his students to Terry Silver. He's the new sensei. Carmen wants to tell everyone about her new relationship with Johnny. Tori begins her newest career as a children's entertainer. Terry Silver inspires Robbie. There's confrontations aplenty as Cobra Kai, Miyagi-Do, and Eagle Fang students all throw down at the drive-in theater. And Terry Silver and Kreese confront Daniel and Johnny at the Miyagi-Do dojo. Yet what I'm thinking about is, did you think Tori was working at a strip club when they showed her all dressed up rather than a children's entertainment venue? I'm serious.
Absolutely, of course.
At a strip club.
Where the hell else would she be going? Come on.
Well, I mean, I guess that was my main point. It's kind of a joke, but I mean, you do have the confrontation at the drive-in. You do have Silver and Kreese confronting Daniel and Johnny.
Love that.
Okay, so just give me your thoughts on episode 4 and anything else, Bicephaly.
Yeah, I mean, that was I love all of it. Like, I love where they're going with Tori, because she was someone I hadn't really warmed up to until this season.
So, I, you got to love my friend's comments because it's so personal. He's like, I haven't warmed up.
Yeah, I haven't, you know, and it's all about me. You know that.
May I make one point?
Please.
You think? I felt like season four didn't really kick off until this episode. Like, I was not bored with episodes 1, 2, and 3, but I was like, all right, like okay. Actually, you know me. I'm looking for anything to kind of pick, and I'm like, season 1, 2, and 3, they're okay. Then season four, I was like, oh, my ears pricked up. Like, I started getting into it a little bit more. Here's, I felt like it didn't really kick off until this episode.
Yes, and the reason is, I think, and I this is not the only season I feel that way. I think, with the exception of season one, I think all the other seasons either take 2 or 3 episodes to get going because I think it's written and filmed like a movie. And it's really meant to be binged. Like, it's like this is like they call this show so bingeable. And like, I can't not watch the next episode after what, you know. So I think that's why it's like the first act is like sort of setting things up. And then the second act is like, go, you know. And that's how a movie is.
Movies, if I may interject, are not always filmed in chronological. Do you think that Cobra Kai films as the natural storyline progresses, or they may cut it up scene to scene based on?
Oh, I think it's always done that way. Movies too. Movies are, it's always in the editing room. It's always, and it's always, filmed, differently. You know, but, I think, and I've, you know, in what I've heard from from the writers and all that, like in interviews and stuff, it's looked upon and it has the feel of a 5.5-hour movie. Like it really does. It just flows, each episode just flows right into the next. So you're never really left hanging. So I do agree with you that it does take a couple of episodes for the big MacGuffin, if you will, to get going. You know?
I like that, MacGuffin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it does flow because what is it coming? What's the running time on most of the episodes? I mean,
like 35, and then yeah, like so the last like episode's like 45.
Yeah, it's like a nice McNugget. It's easy to digest. I'm not joking. It's easy to digest as a viewer, and you know, it's easy to kind of move forward with it. It's not you know, a heavy 120-minute you know soap opera. All right, let's get to episode 5, Match Point. This is where I really started to fine-tune my notes.
Okay.
Terry Silver apologizes. Kreese tells Johnny to stop playing second fiddle. Fight moratorium between the three dojos. Daniel remembers Terry Silver. The first of 3-point wins. Hawk's mohawk gone. The dream fight ends in a tie. So, Andrew, was it just me, and this is how I'm calling how I see it, did the Johnny-Daniel fight seem kind of small? I felt like the anticipation for the fight and the delivery. I mean, you're talking about, you know, Johnny and Daniel all these years later, Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, whatever you want to call it. And I watched it and I was like, oh. Mm.
Interesting. I didn't see it that way. Excuse me. Whoa. I didn't see it that way at all. I saw it as because they've went at it. They've gone at it before in the series.
True.
This was just the buildup to it was the fun part, and the fight actually ended the way I would have wanted it to. I really enjoyed it. It was more comical, which is what it should have been, in my opinion. And this episode, I just have to say, I said it when I saw it, it might be my favorite episode of the series so far. I saw this episode with the train of Johnny's training and all the stuff that was going on there and everything, you know, just how everything was sort of weaving together, it was so much fucking fun. I was like, this episode is just awesome. And I looked at it a little bit differently than you.
Yeah, I got to give a respectful disagree on that one. I don't know. I just I definitely hear you about the comedy element because look, in reality, you got two guys in their late 40s or early 50s.
60. So, they're like you know, pro. They're pushing right. 60. Hey, all right. Hey, well, you know, Evan, 60 is no 50. You should appreciate this when I'm telling you, okay? There's a big difference, my friend.
I'm agreeing. Like, these two guys are strapping it on way late in their careers. I don't know. I hear what you're saying. They've scrapped before, but this was like the first time they're stepping, quote unquote, into the octagon, and they're fighting points and organized kind of deal. I don't know. It felt small to me. It didn't have the anticipation. Like, you know, 30 years later, these guys are getting into it.
I don't think that's why they didn't build it up like that.
You know, and it's like.
So hey, are you saying you think they should have? Are you saying you would have liked? No, wait. Let me ask you a question, because there might be something to it. Are you saying that you think you would have liked it better if they made a bigger deal about it, not just the fight itself, but if they built it up more seriously with more into like maybe devote a whole episode to it, you know, something like that?
Perhaps there's something to it, and I think before the fight that both of them were like almost looking for a way out, like. Hey, maybe we should put, you know, like it was like they were kind of reluctant, and when they finally scrapped, you know, one thing I'll to give about my overall review, I do like the fight set pieces in season four better than any other season. Like these kids are getting older, the karate seems a little bit more intricate, it seemed a little bit more realistic. I did like the set pieces in terms of the fighting, so to speak.
Agreed.
I don't know. I just felt like that end confrontation. Didn't really deliver. Hmm. What about the symbolism for Hawk's mohawk? Anything you want to comment about Hawk losing the
mohawk? Well, it was sort of Hawk coming full circle. He's getting bullied again, like he did in the beginning, and it serves him well because he finally does his complete face turn. I'm reminded of that heartbreaking Piper's Pit segment when they shaved the head of the Haiti kid. And I knew it. But, no, this was, it was a cool way to sort of complete the face turn for Hawk. And I liked it a lot. I mean, he went all the way. He didn't stop off at Eagle Fang. He went all the way to Miyagi-Do. And stayed there, which was surprising also. I thought it was a very good idea and very well done.
Yeah, I don't want to get all Howard Stern, but I mean, I think Eli's a guy that if you looked at it from like a psychological perspective is really trying to find himself. And I really do. And I think the cutting of his mohawk is kind of symbolism. Like now he's going to try to – it's like taking that mask off, so to speak, and now he can really find his – true self. And I probably sound like a douchebag for saying it.
That's why we follow these characters. What about the tattoo? Does he get that removed? Because he is he is Jewish.
He does not get that removed. Well, you know, I do have
a big ass tattoo.
I have two tattoos and my mom goes, you know, you can't get buried in a Jewish cemetery. And I said to her, I won't know. I'll be dead.
Shut up, idiot. Yeah, she loves to hear that. Mothers love to hear their children talk about
you're
that.
Out of the will. And I was like, all right, that's removed right away. Let's go to episode 6.
I can have your Buick? Thank you.
That's right. Episode 6, Kicks Get Chicks. Gru All Valley's making some big changes. Miyagi-Do and Cobra Kai embrace the changes and begin strategizing. Tori's aunt wants her mom's disability checks. Following encouragement from Miguel, Johnny continues his Eagle Fang recruitment. Hawk returns to Miyagi-Do following a pep talk from Dimitri. Tori and Sam at school fighting yet again. Gru, this episode, this whole idea of bullies, are Miyagi-Do students the real bullies here?
I don't think they are trying to be. I think they're so used to fighting back that they just don't seem to know any other way. They always expect to be targeted. Maybe that's the fairest way to say. So I think they are doing some bad stuff or stuff they shouldn't be doing. I don't know if I'd go far as to say that anybody is actually – the real bully you know, everybody has everybody. That's one of the things about this series. Everybody's three dimensional. You know, I can't place the term bully on anybody. Have people been bullied and have people done some bullying? Everybody has, and everybody's been in this show. So, you know, I don't think there is a real bully.
You know what I say?
Uh-oh.
Shades of gray, hey, wherever I roam, the more I find out, the less that I know.
So what do you think?
I don't disagree with you, but Miyagi-Do, they're doing some real bully stuff here. I was like, whoa, these kids are – and you know what? I was kind of like, good. Not because I wanted them to be bullies, but – I'm sorry, Daniel's starting to get on my nerves in season.
Yes,
you know, he's such a fucking do-gooder.
Yes,
and that's why the Anthony storyline. I'll give you where it satisfies me, but I'm just like, you know, this guy. Whereas in the first season, where I was like, yo, it makes sense. He's the top flight guy, and he's a pillar of the community. And maybe I didn't mind it then because it was new, but by season four. He's always the one to dispel criticism and advice and live this very straight line. And I don't know.
I couldn't agree with you more. I could not agree with you more. And I hope that they're going the way I think they're going with it.
Oh, what do you want? A Darth Vader turn?
There? No, come on. No. Follow me here. Let me.
Don't save it. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I hope that it's, you know, I know that they already filmed season five, and I think they aim to do at least six. I'm hoping at some point I think Daniel is trying to be Mr. Miyagi, and he's not. And I want him to come to have to face that at some point and be like, listen, there's only one fucking Miyagi, and it ain't you. All right, not a fucking car salesman from the valley. All right, and I want somebody to really put him in his place in that respect. It'll probably have to be like his wife, because he hasn't really been called out for that kind of hypocrisy, because he is a punk, and he always was. And that's what I love about him, because he is a punk, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always happy because Andrew and I did not speak at all, and we watch Cobra Kai, we watch it differently, but I mean, yeah, I'm just like, you know, he's constantly pulling the kids aside and dispensing advice and living this very Teflon life, and here in season four, you start to see some cracks as Andrew, you know, some chinks in the armor, you start to see some cracks, and I kind of enjoyed it. Now,
well, all right. So you don't think they're so you don't think they're narrative cracks. You think it's character cracks, and that's a good thing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
No,
yeah, that's where we agree on that.
I'll give you where I think there's narrative cracks.
Okay.
You know, Miyagi-Do, they felt like the real bullies, and I didn't like that. But you know, in a sense, I was like, I hope they get their comeuppance, and maybe Daniel does too. But we'll see as we move on to episode seven, Minefields. More locker room hijinks from Anthony LaRusso. Miguel suspects Johnny and Mom got something going on. Daniel finds a Cobra Kai hoodie. Carmen and Johnny finally come clean to Miguel. Johnny introduces Eagle Fang's newest student, Devin Lee. Anthony takes shortcuts in his training. Is Johnny treating Miguel differently? Anthony finally gets suspended. Sam wants the best of both worlds, honey, I know what it's worth. Miyagi-Do and Eagle Fang. Tensions rise between Kreese and Terry. So Gru, up to this point, here's my question to you. Are you more interested in the Kenny-Anthony storyline or the smoldering, simmering tensions between Kreese and Terry Silver at this point in episode 7? Andrew, please go.
Is it just between those two? Because I was just going to say, there's a ton of stuff going on in this episode. The answer to your question is, I'm more interested in Silver and Terry. I mean, Silver and Terry. Silver and Kreese. It's late. Silver and Kreese. Definitely more interested in that for, you know, just because that is what it is. But
that, of course, I don't know why I even asked you that question. Yeah. It's the dumbest question for you.
I'm still loving the Anthony Kenny thing because I think that mirrors a lot of what's going on in this show. There's stakes everywhere. That's what matters. Like, this thing moves at lightning pace and everything matters. And this show probably wouldn't work if the episodes were fans love to say I wish the episodes were longer. I don't think it would work if it was longer. I think it's just tight enough. It's because there is so much going on. But the answer to your question. I forgot your question.
I know. I asked a dumb question. This is a guy who, he's like, I listened to this new artist, Bob Seger, yesterday. I'm like, oh, okay. First of all, I just want to say tight.
I knew I ran, okay, right, and, ran right into that one.
The Kenny Anthony storyline, I got to be honest with you, I'm going to criticize it a little bit because I don't know what school they go to, but I've never saw a kid so bullied. And finally he gets suspended. Like they had that meme where he opens up his locker and I think milk comes flying out of his locker. Hmm. I mean, I worked at a school. I was an assistant principal for 9 years. I was a principal. There's no school worth their salt that's not going to get wise to that. And they play it out. And this poor kid gets bullied. And, poor kid, like it's
well, yeah. Character. I mean, at this point, I've accepted that there are going to be these major contrivances. This show is a comic book, and I love it. I'm fine with it. Like, it doesn't bother me. It is ridiculous that there's no adults around, that there's no teachers around, that there's no cops around. There are felonies left and right. That's a complaining point for a lot of people. Seriously, that's a complaining point for a lot of people in reviews that I've read and reactions I've seen. Like, these kids are committing felonies. And I'm like, I get it. I don't care.
Do you not want some reality? I mean,
honestly, I'm having too much fun with it. It's too, you know, like I get it at that, but the show, this is going to sound really snobbish. You'd think I was snobbish before. I think the show, the actors and the writing and all of it has earned the right to be able to move past those contrivances and not apologize for them. At this point, it's too much fun. It's too good. The characters are too three-dimensional. I can't let any contrivances get in the way do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
I do. I hear what you're saying. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I will keep my final thoughts for my final review and tell you, I think my final review will play into this specific piece.
Well, that's got nothing to do with the story or anything. It's just got,
okay. Well, then I'll just say for me, as a viewer. I don't need 100% authenticity, but I mean, they're fighting in the school was so ridiculous. The mall, I mean, you know, so, I don't know. It just I don't mind a little bit. And yeah, maybe I don't mind a lot, but at some point we got to, we're supposed to be existing in a real universe.
Yeah, I understand the reaction to it. I just at this point I'm completely past it and immune to it.
All right. Well, you know what I say to that? Bullshit. Okay. Let's go to episode 8. Party time. Excellent. Stingray is back. But why? Cobra Kai plans for the prom. Stingray rejected. Terry Silver is showing the love to Robbie. Tensions rise at the prom. Cobra Kai is moving to its original location. Daniel and Amanda go through a counseling session. Terry attacks Johnny, but Kreese shows him mercy. Anthony gets into further trouble, and Daniel flips. Johnny's trying to be a good dad to Robbie. But wait, it's Miguel. A drunken Terry Silver opens up a can of whoop-ass on Fat Stingray. Gru, here's my discussion points. First of all, thoughts on the parenting session with Daniel and Amanda.
Was that, that was when they get their asses handed to them as parents. Loved it. Oh, what a great scene. Oh, man, they should show that scene in every fucking school.
I mean,
are
the parents to blame for Anthony's piggish behavior?
You're goddamn right they are. Yes.
God bless America.
Yes. I told you, they have neglected this fucking kid for 4 years. They're letting him, he's sitting there like he was. Listen, okay, people as they age, they get out of shape, they whatever, but like he's 10 years old and he's morbidly obese. I'm sorry, at that age, and he's sitting there at the country club, everyone is swimming, he's sitting there playing fucking video games, like, and the parents don't give a shit. You know, that was in season one. You know, they're feeding them pancakes every morning. I'm like, all right, you guys are lighting yourselves on fire. I remember thinking that. I was hoping that they would come back to bite him in the ass at some point.
Hold on, a fired up Andrew Gruthier.
Yes.
Can I ask you a question? Do you think that the cousin Vanessa, the counselor, was that maybe a shout out to cousin Vinny? Like, I felt like that was perhaps a little Easter egg. Like, she had that New Jersey, and they thought maybe she was kind of like a dummy. Okay, can maybe I finish my point?
Yeah.
Oh, for Christ's sake. I just wrote notes. I remember watching going, I thought that maybe was a little bit of a shout out or an Easter egg to cousin Vinny, because all of a sudden they think she's just like this kind of dumb, you know, Jerseyite Italian guidette, and all of a sudden she starts like, you know, giving them like, you know, id and ego and, you know, all sorts of psychological mumbo jumbo, and really calls Daniel Amanda on the couch about how they're raising their boy.
Yeah, it was, what a great scene. And I think you have to be right. Those writers and those filmmakers would exactly do that. They would be like, this is Billy from My Cousin Vinny's comeuppance, you know, like, and that cousin Vanessa, she was actually played by, Ralph Macchio's daughter, Julia.
Oh, okay.
So I definitely think that was right out of My Cousin Vinny, without a doubt. I think you're 100% right on that.
Let's get to the other big point. I mean, there's obviously a lot of points. You mentioned him. You love the character. What'd you think of the reintroduction of Stingray into the Cobra Kai fold?
Oh, man. When that first scene, the opening of the episode, when that, you know, like, you don't have no idea who it is, and he's like, just this, then the camera pulls up and you see, because he was not in season three. He almost stole season two. In my opinion, he was just so freaking hysterical. But then he had some good acting roles, so he became sort of a hot commodity as an actor. So it was great to see him back. I figured it would just be a one-off cameo, but evidently they were going to make him into a serious plot point. So I am thrilled. I was thrilled to see him, and I'm thrilled to have him back. I think he's a great character. A lot of people don't seem to like him. I don't know why. Fans, meaning. Well, I don't get it.
Well, I'll say this. He's a talented guy, and I like the character. But again, I harken back to my notes. And maybe I'm missing something. Like, why? I felt like there was no – like, they just inserted him. You understand what I mean? Like, it's almost like you don't see a guy for 10 months – then he wins the Royal Rumble, and it's like, I haven't seen this guy for a while. I don't have any feeling. Like, I just felt like it was like insert special guest character, and maybe I missed how he got reintegrated. I know he's like house sitting, and he's out of jail or?
I don't think he went to jail. I think, but I see what you're saying, and maybe
I was like, but why? Like, I didn't get it. I didn't get it.
I I just don't see it that way, but I understand, because maybe that's why a lot of people don't seem to like him, or seem to like the way it was done. I just loved it. Maybe because I really love the character, and however they did, I just really like where they went with it as well. Like, it would, like what you're describing, it wouldn't have worked if they just had him there, hey, Stingray, and then gone. But they made him into, because, you know, like, I mean, I know you'll get to it in the other episodes, but they made him actually integral to what happens. They made him like sort of the catalyst, which is, you know, it's more than just gratuitous. Just say, hey, look, it's another legacy character, you know. So I really enjoyed that.
I want to nominate gratuitous into the Andrew Guthrie's vocabulary Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
All right, Groove.
You get nebulous. Nebulous belongs
fine.
To you.
Episode 9, The Fall, Cobra Kai, Eagle Fang, and Miyagi-Do all come head-to-head at the All-Valley Tournament. Cobra Kai takes first place in the skills competition. Carrie Underwood performs at the tournament. Tori beats Devin Lee in the quarters. Daniel notices something about those damn Cobra Kai students. Hawk gains last-minute confidence from an old flame. Let me turn the page. Sam wins using a combo approach. Kenny and Robbie get pitted against each other. Miguel is down. Andrew, let's open it up first. Well, here's my one big thing. Thoughts on Carrie Underwood singing at the All Valley Tournament?
Didn't need it. Didn't mind it. It absolutely makes sense that they would have somebody, you know, open up the thing. I love that song. I love that they put it in there. Would it have worked with just playing the song and not having Carrie Underwood? Yes. Does it make a difference to me? No. Didn't bother me at all. Liked it. Because I love the song. So it was cool. Definitely cool. You didn't like it?
I swear to God, I was throwing popcorn at my,
why?
My TV.
What's so... I mean, if they made her...
You just asked
okay,
me,
okay.
So let me get...
Okay.
I mean, how dare they put Carrie Underwood on my screen in a Karate Kid? How dare you? How dare you? You just talked about the music and how it's rooted in the 80s. I mean, throw the old guy who sings, "You're the best around. Nothing's in it." I don't want Carrie Underwood. I swear to you, I was like, this show jumped the shark. How dare you put Carrie Underwood... some hipster country western on my Cobra Kai. No. No.
Like I said.
Okay, whatever.
On my Cobra Kai. That's something that I would expect me to say.
Exactly.
You know? Because if they had Dave Matthews do it, I would have said, no!
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know. Maybe because Carrie Underwood is just that. She doesn't get in the way of anything. Like, if you had Bruce Springsteen on there, he'd get in the way. It wouldn't work. Okay? But maybe Carrie Underwood kind of, like, isn't big enough to get in the way of, you're still invested in the tournament, instead of, like, no, fuck the tournament. I want to hear Springsteen. You know, no one's going to say, fuck the tournament. I want to hear Carrie Underwood. You know,
here's the problem.
What?
Here's the problem. If they did Springsteen, Bruce would have came out with the E Street Band and would have said, back when I was 12, I was in a karate tournament. They played like that. Dan, 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 dan. And then by the time he's done with his 15-minute soliloquy, everyone's sleeping. And the, all right, thanks for the – really appreciate the – carrying on the joke here. All right, let's get to it. Episode 10, The Rise. Miguel is cleared to fight. Anthony apologizes, but Kenny pummels him anyway.
Good.
Sam and Tori advance. Miguel disappears. Hawk wins! Miyagi Fang. Terry Silver wants Tori to fight dirty, but Kreese steps in. Tori wins, but maybe with the help, a little help from her friends, I mean Terry Silver, McCobra Kai coming to a store near you, courtesy of Terry Silver. Robbie reconciles with Johnny for the umpteenth time. Kreese gets arrested. Miguel heads to Mexico City. Daniel visits Mr. Miyagi's grave and enlists Chosen's help. All this and more. It's episode 10, The Rise.
Don't tell me to cut the blue wire. They're both blue wires.
First of all, I'm going to say this. Why did I love Kenny beating the shit out of Anthony so much in the locker room?
Because that's exactly what Anthony deserved. And that's where it needs to go. That'll help the character move forward. And Kenny too. Kenny needed to get his licks in. It was a great resolution.
Yeah, Kenny's kind of like on that border. Like, you get the sense he might go full-blown badass in season 5.
I'm sure he will. And I think that's where they should take him, you know, at least for a while.
Thoughts on the final Hawk-Robbie confrontation? Did Hawk find his true self at the end?
Yeah. Yes, it was like you alluded to the fact that the karate is much better. The fighting is much better.
Yes,
and
yes.
You're damn right it is. And that final match was really good. It was clean. It was really done well. They just find ways to do things like I would never think to do, you know. And it's just the final match was good. The guys have clearly learned a lot of karate over the years, and it's obvious that, like in previous seasons, you could tell when there are stunt doubles in a lot of the scenes. Here, I think they do most of their stuff, which is really commendable. So, very well done. Narratively,
cool. Thoughts on the? Okay, are you done?
I'm done.
Okay, thank you. Podcast is heading to a. it's like a car wreck on I-95. Thoughts on the final storyline push between Terry Silver and John Kreese. So Terry Silver was the bad guy all along.
Love it. Love, 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 love it. Perfect. Perfect. Because what we wanted to see was fucking nut job crazy Terry Silver, and finally by the end we got it. Loved it.
And of course, what did you think about the final appearance of Chosen at the end of episode 10?
Got me out of my seat, I gotta say that. I will say that in the previous season my favorite episode was the Chosen episode. I've always liked that character from Karate Kid 2. And I love that they took that story full circle. So to see him again here at the end, knowing what might be to come, to see where they're going to go with it, loved it. Absolutely loved it. Very excited to see that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll admit I marked out too, but then I was like, why? Why? Again, you're talking about a 60-year-old. He's really going to leave his home in Okinawa because mm-hmm. – Some little karate dojo in California needs. At first I was like, yeah. Then when I sat back, I was like, and again, I hear what you're saying. I don't know. Maybe I apply too much logic, but then I was like,
well,
like you like to say, where are the stakes? What is in it? I don't know. I was like, well
that's the thing. That's the thing. Each season leaves you on that kind of note. Like, remember, last season ended with these three karate dojos fighting in a tournament, like setting up a tournament that the loser leaves town. I mean, and it's ridiculous. They were about, the one guy was about to kill the other guy. So they leave you on that ridiculous note thinking, okay, where are they going with this? And then the next season comes and they continuously surprise us as an audience. So you say why, and I say that will be answered in season 5, you know, and hopefully it will be well done. If it's not, we will certainly say that it's not. But that's what I like about it. I like about it. We don't know where they're going to go with it. I have no freaking clue. It'll be interesting, well, though, I'm sure.
Let me get to it. We'll get to season five rumors in a second.
Okay.
Grew for the week of December 27th through January 2nd, 2022, season four of Cobra Kai topped the global Netflix most watched television list within a 3-day time period. 120 million hours of the series was watched. It ranked in the top 10 titles in 83 countries, 13 of which ranked it number one. Let me give you some facts on critical responses to season four of Cobra Kai. Metacritic scored it 70 out of 100. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a fresh review of 97%. AV Club gave it a B+. Chicago Sun-Times, 3 out of 4 stars. Empire Online, 4 out of 5 stars. IGN gave it 7 out of 10. IndieWire scored it 8 out of 10. Christina Escobar of the AV Club wrote that the season, quote, nicely continues the journeys of our favorite and only Valley Karate fanatics, delivering fun along with impressively high kicks, moments of true emotion, and just enough stunted development to keep it all spinning. She praised newcomer Dallas Dupree Young, noting the similarities between his character and Ralph Macchio's original character from the films. The Chicago Sun-Times' Richard Roper said the season was, quote, quite ridiculous, but remained entertaining. James Dyer from Empire Online noted that most plot lines throughout the season were expanded on from the third film in the franchise, but that it, quote, introduced its own existential discord. IGN writer Amelia Amber Wing felt that it was obvious while watching the season was the first to be wholly produced by Netflix. Amelia did say that it was a little bit ridiculous, but still, quote, one hell of a ride. Last one, Rebecca Theodore Vachon of IndieWire opined that the series, quote, faithfully honors its roots while managing to tell new and compelling stories. Andrew Gruthius, I will take a sip of my purified water. The floor is yours. On a scale of 1 to 4 Mohawks, give it to us. How did you rate season 4 of Cobra Kai and why?
Well, I remember when I was the only motherfucker who watched this show. Back in the beginning.
Wait, I watched it. We talked about
it. In the very, very beginning, man, I feel like I was the only one.
You're the Christopher Columbus of
yes,
Cobra Kai.
I am. How do I rate it? Well, you're not going to like my answer because
Why do you suppose?
At this point, all right, I'm rating it 4 out of 4. And at this point, that's what I'm giving every season because I can't distinguish anymore.
Wait, hold on. I want to understand one thing. I get season 4. Now you're going to go back and rate every other season 4 out of 4?
No, I'm going to say that I love them all equally. I can't because I just he just flipped me the bird double time. It's like what Billy Joel says. It's like, you know, what he says, like, what's your favorite songs? He's like, you know, it's like, I look at them all as my kids. I love them all differently, but I love them all the same. Like, you know, and that's kind of how I'm starting to feel about this because Cobra Kai season 4, while yes, it had its, you know, moments of ridiculousness and its little dead spots, just like each of the other seasons, it took me in places that I didn't expect it to go. It was not a nonstop thrill ride. And it just keeps making me love all these characters and these situations even more. And it just keeps moving forward. It doesn't stop. It was at the end of the season. I was just like, again, that was just fucking awesome. And that's it. You know, there's not much. The Richard Roper review that you read is probably the best one. Ridiculous, but great. You know, mm-hmm. And that's how I look at it. I just can't. There's no other way for me to look at it anymore. You know, unless the next season just sucks, then I'll be like, okay, they're jumping the shark. You know.
Okay.
So that's my review.
So Andrew gave it 4 Mohawks. Now I'm going to give you the definitive Nothing Worth While review.
Okay. Please. The official. You are the official review.
I see it a little bit differently than Andrew, but I'll be curious to hear Andrew's thoughts on my review. I always go good, bad, and then final. Good. Entertaining. I'm going to say this is the season where I cared more about the kids than the adults. The kids took over than the adults. Daniel, Johnny. Actually, I think this show should just be Johnny. Just give me Johnny's life. that would be the most interesting. But I felt like this is the season where the kids kind of nudged past the adults. I almost care more about the kids than the adults. As I said before, the fights were more intricate, more authentic, and I was more entertained upon season 3, which I did not. I was not a major fan of season 3. So there's the good stuff. Bad. First of all, Carrie Underwood, that's their jump the shark moment. I don't want to see Carrie Underwood ever again on a Cobra Kai. And again, I thought about this. And one of the guys on our Last of the Action Heroes thread said it perfectly. I thought about this, Andrew. It's like Big Show. Too many, he's a good guy, he's a bad guy, he's a good guy, he's a bad guy. After a while, you stop caring. I'm not saying I stopped caring, but it's like Robbie likes his dad. Now he hates his dad. Now he likes his dad again. There's so many changes that I start to kind of tune them out. And again, I told you some of my criticisms with the Daniel character. And so here's what I clarify as my final review. I give it 2 2¾ Mohawks. What I say about this is I now watch Cobra Kai differently. I watch it like a soap opera now. It's no longer to me a TV serialization. I'm watching it like it's Dallas, like it's Dynasty. And in a way, I'm a little bit sad about it because I was so down in season 1. Like, I was just mesmerized. Like, oh, this is Johnny and Daniel 30 years later. Like, it felt like so real and it felt so authentic. I agree. It's still I was entertained by season 4. I was very much entertained. I was more entertained with season 4 than season 3. But it's gotten into this little bit of a realm. I think you've even acknowledged a little bit of a realm of ridiculousness. And, you know, I'm going to watch it like any other soap opera, and I'll enjoy the ridiculousness of it. But it's not the same way I watched in season 1. Season 1 was like a legit, like, put it up for an Emmy. I was the performances, how they saw the characters. And again, they have glimpses. Like I said, Terry Silver. Wow, this guy's like a wealthy, kind of douchey West Coast. Felt it. You know, but all these little twists and turns and, you know, that I thought the thing with Stingray really at the end was really ridiculous. Like, beats him up in this drunken rage to frame Kreese. And that's really like a soap opera. Now, if you remember going back to season 1, I love season 1. But if you remember to my review, check the podcast. What did I say? The end reveal of Kreese. He's not dead. He's still alive. I said that was baloney. So maybe I said, I don't know, maybe I meandered, but two and three quarter Mohawks. It's a great soap opera, but it's lost a bit of its authenticity or quality to me.
Okay. Your points are all valid. I what you see as detriments, I see as positives. But one thing off of what you said about the heel turn, face turn stuff, I get it. However, what I did like about Robbie at the end here is that this reconciliation was an actual real breakthrough. Like, the best line was, he's like, I'm sick of blaming you for everything.
I understand.
And so that was something that you wanted. That was a subject that you wanted them to broach together 3 seasons ago. And you've been like, just fucking say it. Just, you know, just cut the, you know, like, and so they finally came together in a meaningful way instead of a superficial way. By both admitting that they're both fucked up. So now I'll be way more interested now to see where their relationship goes, than I would have been if that didn't happen. So it doesn't bother me. And look, who else besides him, as far as good guy, bad guy, like Hawk a little bit, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, it's just an overall kind of vibe. Yeah, like, I was thinking about your comments. Like, even the whole at the very end, it's not something I would fixate on, but like, I was a little bit disappointed even with the Terry Silver bribing the referee. Like, I felt like that cheated Tori out of a legitimate win. And if I'm putting my emotions into a character and really enjoying the show, I kind of was like, that's bullshit. Because for the first time, I was like, good for this kid from the other side of the tracks. Like, she finally had something like to really pride herself on. And she sees this douchebag give, and again, it fits the Terry Silver motif for the end of the show. But I was like, ah, like, they're going to do that to Tori? I don't know.
Well, now it'll be interesting to see her reaction. I mean, remember, you know,
it is,
part of the idea of a season finale is to, they got to, you know, set up some cards for the next one. But everything you say is completely true. It just depends how much you let it bother you, and that's really the difference.
Let me say this. I said I was entertained.
Yeah.
I did not like I liked season three, but like I was just so critical of that one storyline. But I was
which one storyline? Can you remind me?
Oh, when they went to Okinawa.
Oh, okay.
The car, you know.
In other words, my favorite. Oh, wait. No. Yeah. I remember that was ridiculously contrived. Absolutely. You're right.
And that's where I felt like the show started to fall into this nostalgia trap. But speaking of which, let me hit you up on some Cobra Kai season five rumors. Gru, season five is already wrapped. It's been filmed. I think I got this off literally, I think Cosmo.com, but they're saying season five of Cobra Kai, you'll see it late 2022 or early 2023. They talk about perhaps going to see a Karate Kid-esque road trip with Johnny and Miguel, as Miguel will head to Mexico searching for his father. And an interview with comicbook.com, Hurwitz teased that Miguel might not even return to the mat next season. Quote, "We had things that we wanted to do with other characters, and we felt that it would be a powerful move for him to make that decision. Johnny tells him to be a man, and I think Miguel's interpretation of that is not going back to the mat. It's following what is in his heart and what is important for him to explore his world. So in season five, you'll see that Miguel is going out there searching for his father." What do you think of that rumor? What do you think of that Miguel to Mexico storyline at the end of season four?
Very interesting. Be interesting to see who it is. They give us some teases as to what kind of person it is. To see Johnny go after him, is it turning into Rambo 6? I'm sure we'll get some jokes about. I'm sure we'll get some jokes about that. You know, because this show always has its tongue firmly in cheek. I think it's a great evolution for the character. Like, how many more? Number one, you can't. How many? They're high school seniors. How many years are they going to stay 18? It's an under 18 tournament. No more tournaments, you know?
Okay.
It doesn't have to be about – I think the writers know that it doesn't really have to be about karate all the time, you know? So this will be interesting.
So if I can give an alternative view, maybe I missed something. They definitely hint at Miguel's dad, and clearly Miguel has daddy issues. But I felt like – they never really – like Miguel never ever said at any – maybe I missed it where he was like, I really want to search out my dad or I miss my dad. I just – maybe I missed it.
No, you didn't. You didn't, but
– So he gets on a bus and I was like whoa. Well, I just was like this
– Here's – I
don't know.
I got – well, you didn't miss anything because he never really said that. But I think what triggered this whole thing was – you know, Johnny has been his father for the last few years. Like, he's the only real male role model he's ever had. And that scene, I think it was in episode 8, where Johnny's drunk and Miguel is putting him to bed. And he tells him he loves him. And then he says, I love you, Robbie. Like, You
That's
know,
right.
Like
I referenced that.
That might have triggered something in him to, you know, sort of back off. And you see over the last two or three episodes, he, you know, he doesn't return to the mat at the, you know, at the tournament. And so that kind of gives it the little push in that direction, I think. It was a powerful scene, I'll tell you that. But, look. It leaves us asking questions, and that's what it's supposed to do.
I'm asking questions. Like, what's for dinner? Yeah. Oh, sorry. Guru, the article goes on to say, who's got money? That Karate Kid Part 3 villain Mike Barnes turns out to be Miguel's dad, or some type of appearance for Mike Barnes. Guru, give me odds. Mikey Barnes is back in the fold for season 5.
Odds are pretty good. No way he's going to be Miguel's father. These people love to say, this guy's this girl's mother and that guy's this girl's kid's father. Like, it never works out.
Come on. It fits Cobra Kai's incestuous. I mean, obviously there's the.
All right. I hope that doesn't happen. That would be a little too far. And they don't need to. Terry Silver kind of alluded to it. You know, when Kreese was being taken away. He's like, I got some people I can call, you know, something like that. So people are saying like he was alluding to Mike Barnes, who was the guy from before. Probably, I haven't heard anything definitive, but I would say very likely you'll see him in season 5.
You're probably right, because that's what Cobra Kai does. Yeah. Grill, we saw a reverting back to his manic, aggressive 80s self. That's Terry Silver. He's aiming to turn the entire state of California into a Cobra Kai dojo. Season 5 will likely see Daniel, along with Frenemy Chosen, doing everything they can to stop Silver. However, Gru, could we see the next Karate Kids, Hilary Swank, Julie Pierce, show up to put an end to all the craziness? Gru, give me odds. Hilary Swank, Julie Pierce, Season 5.
I'd say odds are low, and I hope not. I don't think it fits. It'd be a little too much.
Oh Lord, honestly. You're now asking for Cobra Kai to peel it back a little bit.
Well,
how dare you?
I don't know. It's hard to, because that movie was really, really bad, and it kind of hurt. You know, Karate Kid 3 was badly made, but it was a fun story. Karate Kid, next Karate Kid was just a cartoon, and I just as soon like to forget it even exists. But you know, they never say never. With people like her?
What about the rumor of season 6? The bird that Julie Pierce took care of. The bird will make an appearance.
I remember that bird. And I only saw the movie. I don't even think I made it through the end of the movie. Once the monks started running around and, I mean.
Oh, God.
Jesus Christ.
We got to film something like that. That was,
yeah. I mean, look, I imagine they'll probably bring her in for, I doubt they'll bring her in as part of something major, maybe a cameo or something.
I agree.
You know, and that would be okay. But if they bring her in, you know, to try to shake things up. Allie worked because Allie had history with Daniel and Johnny. Allie's got nothing to do with Miyagi. Okay. But to bring in Julie, Hilary Swank, look, that's an A-list double Oscar winner actress. You know, if you can get her, you might as well use her. But not necessary.
Do me a favor, to the production team of Cobra Kai, please call Andrew Gruthius and get clearance on season 5. And,
only if they show her naked. Am I allowed to say that? No.
Yes. article goes on to say, not sure about the future of Cobra Kai beyond a fifth season. Hard to tell. The trio of producers behind the series have long teased spinoffs set in the Karate Kid world, which they've dubbed the Miyagi-verse. And number one rumor, perhaps, is an Okinawa-set origin story for Mr. Miyagi. I think that might be super interesting, Gru. You know,
I agree.
We talked about even Rocky with the Mickey and these kind of things. Miyagi-verse, perhaps an origin story of Mr. Miyagi. Would you be into that?
I would. I would be interested, you know, because they sort of allude to that story, you know, with him and Sato and Karate Kid 2 and all that stuff. And that's – and his you know, the woman they fought over and all that. There could be something there. I would absolutely be interested in that. What about you?
Sorry, I was
What about you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, good. I
mean, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Julie Pierce.
Absolutely.
I mean, they definitely rumored it, but I agree with you. I think if you get Hilary Swank, it's like a one-off.
Yeah.
I think Mike Barnes would be the guy that they would integrate into more into season five. So, all right, crew. Season four Cobra Kai Roundtable. That's a wrap. Andrew, why don't you take us out of here?
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here with us on a Tuesday night. And what is after that? Well, you'll just have to stay tuned, because some things even we don't know. And with that, this has been Nothing Worthwhile with Moody and Gru. A one, a two, a three. Wrap up!